This is The Difference, a podcast for nonprofit fundraising in a for-profit world, presented by Convergent Nonprofit Solutions, a leader in nonprofit fundraising. Convergent's professionals can help your nonprofit secure sustainable funding now and for the future.
Welcome to The Difference. Today, we're actually doing a podcast takeover. Convergent CEO Rod Brooks is here. He is going to interview our principal and a chartered financial analyst, Tom Ralster, to discuss some exciting news on our front. Tom has a brand new book called The 5-Minute Fundraiser. To give just a bit of context before I hand over the mic, though, Rod has been with Convergent since January, but has a long history in the nonprofit world. Prior to joining our team, Rod was the president and CEO of Rise Against Hunger, a global nonprofit that created strategic, sustainable methods to end hunger. In his 13 years with Rise Against Hunger, Rod expanded the organization's impact to serve more than 1 million beneficiaries. He led cash and in-kind revenue growth from $1.4 million to more than $60 million per year. And he increased volunteer engagement to more than 500,000 volunteers per year. For 16 years before he worked at Rise Against Hunger, Rod worked to create the Explorers Museum in Raleigh, one of the first children's museums to take a hands-on learning approach to global education. Tom Ralster has an equally impressive background. He has helped nonprofits secure the funding they need through a return on investment ROI based outcomes-driven approach. Tom's investment-driven model of fundraising is widely used by corporations, foundations, and individuals as confirmation that the nonprofits in which they invest are truly delivering outcomes they value. Tom has raised an estimated $1.6 billion for hundreds of nonprofits in the past 25 years, and he has authored two successful books, ROI for Nonprofits, The New Key to Sustainability, and Asking Rights, Why Some Nonprofits Get Funded and Some Don't. It's very exciting news to us that Tom has a third book to talk about today. And Rod, I will let you take it from here. Welcome, Rod and Tom.
Thank you so much, Kristen. It's a pleasure for me to be here with you and my colleague and friend, Tom Ralster. As Kristen mentioned, my previous experience as a nonprofit leader has been, I'll say, across the table from fundraisers like Tom and Convergent. Convergent's success in delivering fundraising results for nonprofits, much of which is driven by Tom's ROI-based approach, is what drew me to the organization. So it's exciting for me to talk about Tom's most recent book, The 5-Minute Fundraiser. Please share with us who this book is for and what are the key takeaways they will gain from reading The 5-Minute Fundraiser.
Thanks, Rod. 5-Minute Fundraiser is sort of the next generation of Asking Rights in that when Asking Rights came out in 2013, the concepts were widely embraced, but I quickly found out that it was just too much to ask the typical board member to read that type of book prior to, let's say, a workshop I was doing for the organization. So this book takes those same concepts and puts them in a much more digestible format, easily finished in less than 90 minutes, a plane ride. It reinforces the three key ingredients necessary to earn Asking Rights, which are credibility, fundraising skills, and outcomes, and presents them in a real-life scenario.
I have to say, I really enjoyed reading the book, and we're going to come back to those ingredients in just a minute. You mentioned in the book that the idea of Asking Rights came to you after meeting with a particular donor. Please describe that moment in your life to our listeners.
That was years ago. I was doing a feasibility study, which most of our listeners know that's the first step of a successful campaign. And I was interviewing the CEO of the largest bank in town, and he was very polite and listened to everything I had to say. But after the feasibility, the formal part of that interview was over, he asked me, "What gives you the right to ask me for money? I don't know you, and I barely know the nonprofit you're representing." And it was that point I realized that nonprofits couldn't rely on that personal relationship for their funding as much as they used to. Their results, their outcomes had to stand on their own, especially when you're asking people for money. This particular nonprofit that I was representing had not earned the right to ask this particular gentleman for money, and he knew that. So in the book, Asking Rights, I defined Asking Rights as the ability to deliver outcomes that are valuable to investors. And if you can do that as a nonprofit, you have earned the right to ask for money, or as we term it, Asking Rights.
I can appreciate how that would be a moment that would be etched in your mind as you're there with that prospective donor. And frankly, how it led to the inspiration for this book. Another question for you. You wrote about asking rights in your two previous books. Those books were filled with examples of nonprofit clients you worked with and very strong imagery, lots of numbers. So I'm curious, why did you choose to write this book in a different format?
Yeah, it really is quite a change. I was a big fan of The One-Minute Manager when it came out in 1982. And at that point, I was actually in the academic world. The new One-Minute Manager came out in 2015, and it was very similar, but it was updated. But both of those books were, you know, big concepts presented in a story format or a parable format. That's, you know, short, to the point, easy to remember, very distilled. Of course, one can't become a fundraiser in 5 minutes any more than one can become a manager in 1 minute. What it does is keep the concepts top of mind and really does focus on what's important.
I think the format that you chose, it certainly made the book and the characters in the book very relatable. I think to any of us that have been in the fundraising field and have faced the kinds of issues that you describe, and it just made the concepts a lot easier to grasp, I think. Well, follow-up question then, do you anticipate this book being the first of a series?
It certainly leaves open that possibility. It's written in such a way that the protagonist learns the basics of asking rights, how to build them, how to implement them. And in the next installment, she'll be in a position to put those basics to work. I'm thinking that since the pandemic has completely rewritten the playbook for raising money these days, I might title it along the lines of The 5-Minute Fundraiser Meets the Pandemic or something like that.
Describe for us what it means to focus on outcomes. How's that different from what many nonprofit organizations do, and why it's so critical from your perspective?
That's a really good question, Rod. When the first book, ROI for Nonprofits, came out in 2007, I did talk about the importance of outcomes in a fundraising context. Back then, I was accused of committing nonprofit or fundraising blasphemy by using return on investment, which is a for-profit term, in a nonprofit context. Now that the industry realizes that it works, and in fact, most grants actually have a return on investment section now, it's pretty much standard procedure. People understand it, they appreciate it, they realize it produces results. But the reality, and we're sort of reminded of this every day, most nonprofits still seem to only get to the output level and not the outcomes level. Outputs are measures of activity. They're pretty easy to measure. And that's why most nonprofits tend to be pretty good at that, describing that, communicating those. In fundraising, if you go to that level of outcomes and then ratchet it up and raise the bar even more to go to the value of those outcomes and can communicate them effectively, you usually hit the fundraising home run. And that's really how we run our campaigns within Convergent. Found it to be the most effective way to do that. And it comes down to the bottom line is that you must focus on outcomes or you're really leaving money on the table and you're not fully developing your asking rights.
I appreciate what you're saying, Tom. And I reflect back to my experience at Rise Against Hunger, which was an organization that had developed a program to distribute meals to support school feeding programs. On the one hand, it was fairly easy for us to talk about the output, the number of meals that volunteers. What really changed the conversation with our donors and even the volunteers who were packaging those meals is when we talked about what that meal would mean to a child in school. It provided nutrition that enabled them to learn. It provided an incentive for parents to send their kids to school who wouldn't have been sent otherwise. And through that, literacy rates increased and vocational training opportunities increased. And so I appreciate what you're saying about emphasizing the outcomes as different from the activities.
Don't get me wrong, Rod. Outputs are important because without outputs, we couldn't get to outcome.
Agreed.
And that does get people's attention. Those numbers tend to be larger and easier to grasp, but they truly are measures of activity in the true fundamental fundraising sense. When you start talking about your outcomes and communicating your outcomes, you do really personalize those sometimes cold numbers. And that allows people to get a much broader and more robust appreciation for what you're really accomplishing.
Well, and I also think that, you know, your experience as both a fundraiser and a financial analyst come together well in that being able to quantify the value of outcomes and describe them beyond the activities, I think is something that is unique to Convergent and the skills that you bring to our organization.
Well, it is, and thank you. Every client we're engaged with in a campaign, we actually apply those in what we call an organizational value proposition. It's an actual document we produce. Background on that is interesting because we had to invent a new acronym because, again, going back to the early days, we couldn't say ROI. That was the wrong thing to say. So we had to say something else that embodied the concept, but that was acceptable. And we settled on organizational value proposition, or OVP. We've been using that now for 15 or so years. And it's that tool that allows that conversation about impact and downstream effect to actually happen.
Well, Tom, shifting gears a little bit, obviously today we're in a very different business environment with the COVID-19 pandemic. Nonprofits are struggling. Fundraising is having to be done virtually now in most cases. Does this change any of the messages of the book or present them through a different filter?
It makes the critical message of the book even more important. The tried and true, it's all about relationships and in fundraising, is even more difficult in a socially distanced Zoom call norm environment. COVID has brought about the need to transition to other ways of raising money, especially with those organizations that relied on events or in-person events. Whether it be a gala or a golf tournament, they can't do that right now, or they can't do it the way they've always done it. So they have to transition to something different. They simply can't rely on those in-person centric methods any longer. The easiest way we have found to differentiate your organization from the hundreds of thousands out there, who, by the way, are also asking for money, the best way to do that is by demonstrating and communicating your outcomes in a way that means something to your investors.
Tom, thank you for that. And thinking about, again, this environment that we're in and how Convergent is adapting to COVID and how we're helping our clients adapt to COVID, thinking about the types of services that we have offered as an organization, describe a little bit how those have evolved.
It's actually made how we approach our campaigns, or I guess our differentiators, a little more important. If you're making an ask, for example, virtually via a Zoom call, you're actually making it a lot easier for that prospect to say no. Because it's easier to say that over the phone, it's easier to say that with a Zoom, in a Zoom arena. In person, you can respond to that differently. You can ask a question a different way. You can see body language. You can see if they're distracted a lot. You can see if they're multitasking, for instance. We've had to adapt in a way that, in a nutshell, tries to make that virtual ask or that virtual cultivation more effective. That typically means more work on the front end. It means more collateral material. It means more of a deep dive into their value proposition. It means that they may have to take some of these techniques that traditionally were reserved for a capital campaign and apply them to their annual campaign. That focusing on outcomes and relating your outcomes in a language that your investors understand and appreciate. That was a hallmark of ours as a company in capital campaigns, but that works just as well in an annual campaign. So there's more work on the front end, typically to refine that message, quantify that message, translate that message, translate it for different people. So we've applied that in an annual campaign context. That's one of the ways we're doing that. We're also seeing a lot more board development now. There are board members we are working with that have never attended an in-person board meeting. They came to the organization and came on the board during the pandemic. They've never been in an in-person meeting. And so for me to do a workshop for them about some of these concepts is very strange, harder to grasp. So I think this book, if they would spend 90 minutes reading that, gives them a tremendous head start and makes that workshop, even though it's delivered virtually, even more effective for their organization. So those are a couple of the ways that we've adapted.
Well, Tom, there's clearly a lot of value in the 5-minute fundraiser for those that are willing to invest 90 minutes and reading it and grasping these concepts. Where can people find the 5-minute fundraiser if they want to order it now?
You can go to our website, convergentnonprofit.com, and there's going to be an excerpt or two, and it can certainly be purchased on Amazon as all the other books can.
Should someone, after reading the 5-minute fundraiser, have questions about how to apply the asking rights principles and to use this effectively, how should they reach out?
They can reach me through our website.
In light of what's happening now around COVID, if your organization is one that has relied traditionally on events, major events, I really want to encourage folks to contact Convergent. We can help you apply these principles around major giving to help you expand your fundraising. With that, Tom, thank you again.
Thank you, Rod. My pleasure.
To find out more about Convergent and Tom's new book, The 5-Minute Fundraiser, please visit convergentnonprofit.com.